All right, here we go. We are going to be talking about this week and probably next week what the church needs to do in 2022. That's my little catchphrase there. What the church needs to do in 2022. And everything that I will share with you this week and next week will come from Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians.
EPC.
Okay. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your word is everlasting. And Lord, we want to hear your words more than our words, more than ever. We want to speak your words more than our words, more than ever, because it's only your words that are filled with power. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and always goes forth and accomplishes that, what it was sent forth to do, Lord. So, Lord, we praise you and thank you. Bless this words that you've given me. They're strictly, pretty much straight your words from Ephesians today, Lord, of what you want the church to do and what the church needs to do in 2022. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we know, the word of God has always revealed to the church his plan of what we're called to do for him, or who we're supposed to be as his body, the church. Amen? Amen? The Lord wants us to know 2022 is the year to understand the signs of the times and follow his plan more than ever before. We're going to start in Ephesians 4. But before I get into Ephesians 4, verse 1, just remember what Paul was teaching in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 1, he told us how blessed we are, that God himself chose us to be his children through Jesus Christ, through what he would do through Jesus Christ, that he would bring us into his family if we would put our faith in his son. He chose us specifically for that, and how blessed we are. Chapter 2, he said, look, you were dead in your trespasses and sin, but God, praise God, he made us alive in Christ Jesus. By grace we're saved through faith, not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. And that we are his workmanship, created to do the good works that he planned long before. He also says in there in chapter 2 that he raised us with Christ and seated us in the heavenly places. So he's put us in this incredible position. He's given us all these blessings. I forgot chapter 1. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing that there is in the heavenly realms. I mean, come on. What an incredible privilege. What a position that he's placed us in. So now when we get to chapter 4, Paul flips it and he says, look, basically what he's saying, you know your position. You know how God's blessed you. You see where he's put you. This is what you're supposed to do as the church. This is how you're supposed to live. This is how you're supposed to conduct yourself. This is what the church needs to do to be effective in whatever era of life or whatever part of history I have put you. So let's start with verse 1. The first thing Paul tells us, look, after all that you've received, all the spiritual blessings, you've been seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. He's saved you. He's chose you to be his children. He's given you these incredible blessings. So now here's the first thing you need to do. Walk worthy of the calling of which he called you. The church. He's not only speaking to individuals, but he's specifically, Ephesians is written to the church, really to the church, us, the body of Christ. So what does it mean to walk worthy of our calling? Well, I'm not crazy about the Message paraphrase, but I do like the way that Eugene Peterson paraphrases this verse. Listen to what he says. To walk worthy of the calling with which we've been called. The paraphrase of the Message puts it like this. I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. Excuse me. I forgot to go live. So again, this is how the paraphrase, the Message, interprets the Ephesians 4:1. The church has to walk worthy of the calling with which it was called. How does that, the paraphrase put it? I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. But run on the road that God called you to travel. I don't want you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. Isn't that good? I thought that was pretty good. I don't want anyone strolling off going down a path that goes nowhere. Know your assignment and don't deviate from my plans that I've revealed to you by the Holy Spirit in my written word. Those are my words. That's not the paraphrase. That's what the Lord gave me. That's what he's telling us this year. Know your assignment and don't deviate from my plans that I've revealed to you by the Holy Spirit in my word. You don't have to look for it everywhere else. Somebody may give you a prophetic word, but you don't have to go looking everywhere else to find out what God wants you to do, because he's revealed it to us in his word. It's right here. Amen? That was a good place for an amen. Verse 2. Be always humble, gentle, and patient. Show your love by accepting each other with love. Amen. Verses 3 through 6. Do your best to preserve the unity which the Spirit gives. The Living Bible says it this way. Try always to be led along together by the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be at peace with one another. I thought it was another good translation way to put that. Try always to be led along together by the Holy Spirit, and so be at peace with one another. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Listen, we're all aware of the enemy's strategies. The devil has always used division to do what? To destroy churches, families, governments and nations. What's his number one weapon? Division. Jesus taught us what? Every kingdom that fights against itself will be destroyed. And a family or a house that fights against itself will break apart and fall down. That you can see that in nations, in governments. You can see that in families. If a husband and wife and the children are not working together, if they're constantly divided against each other, it's not going to last, right? It's going to fall. We've seen how destructive the division is that the enemy's sown over the last couple of years. Throughout the world, there has been major division. We're not ignorant of his strategies, and we must not allow him to bring division in the church, between God's people especially, which he has been able to do by a lot of these woke teachings, you know, that have come recently into the church. But we cannot allow him to do that. The church must be permeated with the oneness that Jesus prayed for in John 17:21. Do you remember when Jesus prayed this? His prayer, that whole prayer, John 17, was for oneness. That's why I can just see the Holy Spirit all over Paul when he was writing the previous verses that we just read, verses 5 and 6. There's one body. There's one Spirit. You're called to one hope, one calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. Sounds just like Jesus, doesn't it? In John 17:21, this is what Jesus prayed. Father, I pray that all who believe in me can be one. You are in me and I am in you. I pray they also can be one with us, one in us, that they will learn to be one. Is it any wonder that Jesus prayed that after walking with the 12 disciples for 3 years? Remember, if you've ever saw The Chosen, the series The Chosen, what were they always constantly doing? They were constantly bickering and fighting and arguing with each other about this and that and who is Jesus and what does he mean and where is he going? What's he supposed to be doing? They hardly were ever one. And Jesus knew that they couldn't continue that way. So he prayed that prayer. And of course, in the book of Acts, you can see how they all, once they got filled with the Holy Spirit and Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit on, they became one. I mean, they were united. Nothing could separate them then. And they were united in one heart and one mind and one accord. Always we hear those words in the book of Acts. Unity is so super important, first of all, because of what Jesus just said. He said, when we're in unity, the world will believe that you sent me. There is such power in unity that it helps draw people to the Lord. It helps people see that why and how God the Father really sent Jesus. It helps us, second, it helps us cooperate as a body of believers as God meant us to. It gives us a little foretaste of heaven. Hey, got to learn to work together and be in unity here because that's how we'll be in heaven. Third, it renews and revitalizes ministry because there's less tension to sap our energy. If you've ever been in a ministry where there's a lot of tension, there's not unity, oh, it is exhausting. It can be exhausting. It just saps your energy. Nothing gets done. Division. The enemy knows that. Don't let him do that. Living in harmony doesn't mean that we're going to agree on everything. There'll be many opinions, just as there are many notes in a musical chord. But we must agree on this. We must agree on our purpose in life. Right, Diane? We must agree on our purpose in life, which is what? As the church, to work together for God and for his kingdom. That's our purpose, to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 30. Drop down to verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Simply, this means if there's any sin in our life which shouldn't be there that grieves the Holy Spirit, now is the time to deal with it. We've got to deal with it and get it out of our life. Not only that, though, if there's anything not in our life that we know the Holy Spirit has called us to be or do, we need to start walking in faith and obedience and doing it and being it. Amen? Walk in faith and obedience, and it's time for us to rise to our high calling today as the church. Amen? Verse 5. I'm going to just read, Chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 1, and then I'm going to go down to verse 8. Verse 1 of chapter 5 in Ephesians says this: since you are God's dear children, you must try to be like him. Imitate your heavenly Father. Verse 8. You were once darkness. He doesn't say that we were just in darkness. We were darkness. We were controlled by darkness. But now, don't you love the but nows in the Bible? But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. As the children of light filled with his light, our actions should reflect our faith. We should live above reproach morally so that we will reflect God's goodness to others. That's how we walk as children of light. The light of our Christ-filled life needs to be shining out in a world right now that's filled with depressing darkness, to lead others out of darkness into his marvelous light, just like he's done for us. Remember, Jesus taught this and stressed this important truth in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. You are the light that shines for the world to see. You're like a city built on a hill that cannot be hidden. People don't hide a lamp under the bowl. They put it on a lampstand. Then the light shines for everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We're called to live so that we people can see the good things we do and praise and honor our Father in heaven. When we live like that, when we shine the light and be the salt of the earth like that, it lets people see how awesome our Father God is and what he's done for us. Amen? Verses 11 through 14. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The church must rise to the occasion. We must pray that the church and many other people will become, as we talked about earlier this morning, Mike Lindell, will know what our purpose is, will stand up for righteousness. We will not only stand up for righteousness and live pure lives, but we will expose the darkness. If we can't be part of it, if we're not the ones out there speaking against it and raising up, then we need to do whatever we can. We need to pray for the people who are. We need to support them with our finances, but make sure that all the wickedness, the darkness, and the evil that's in the world, in our governments or anywhere else, gets exposed so that people can know the truth. Amen? It's important to avoid the worthless deeds of evil darkness, any pleasure of activity that results in sin, but we must go even further. Paul instructs us to expose those deeds. Why is it important for us to speak out against those things? Because our silence could be interpreted as what? As agreement or approval. In 2022, God needs his people to take a stand for what is right and speak out against it. We must lovingly speak out for what is true and right. So how do we expose the dark lives and the lies and the evil that's out there and the evil people? The same way Jesus did. First, as Paul just encouraged us, by living a holy, pure life, the way we expose them is exactly the way Jesus did. First, by a life of holiness, and second, yes, you're going to have to speak words of correction spoken under the direction of the Holy Spirit. If you can remember, just think back in your mind and focus on how Jesus dealt with the Pharisees and the leaders of Israel. What was he constantly doing? He was constantly doing good deeds that showed that their deeds and the things that they were doing and the way they were doing things was not according to the Word of God. So just by the way he lived, the way that he ministered to people, the way he loved people, the way he remained true and holy and righteous in everything he did, expose them. And if you remember, he didn't even have to say a word. They would get furious just by the things that he was doing. Because why? Because it was exposing that the things that they were doing were totally not the will of God and totally not what God wanted them to do. But when they would speak or they would say something, and he would speak words directed by the Holy Spirit that would just, boom, shut them down and expose who they were to the people right away. Hasn't changed. That's the way God has called us to deal with darkness and evil in the world. Verses 15 through 17. I thought this was an interesting, the word circumspectly. Let me read the verse. See then that you walk circumspectly. The word means accurately and exactly. See that you walk accurately and exactly. Isn't that interesting? See that you walk not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what your purpose is. That's what we need to be praying for ourselves, and that's what we need to be praying for each other constantly. Amen? The Lord is telling the church, follow the plan I've given you in my word accurately. Do it exactly the way I told you. Find out what my will is and then do it accurately and exactly the way that I tell you to do it. Just like he told Joshua in the Old Testament, what did he tell him? Don't fear, be courageous, spend time in my word, know my word, and you will have what? Success in all that you do. Hasn't changed. Amen? The word that talks about redeeming the time, I thought was interesting. There were a few. Of course, it means to buy back, but it also means to recover loss. We need to recover lost time. Time that's been lost on doing so many other things besides what the Lord has really called us to do. 2022 is the time to recover lost time for ministry of the Lord. Amen? I really feel strongly that what the Lord was telling me to say about that. We must do exactly what I told you to do, and we must recover lost time. Why? How does he end that? Because the days are evil. No doubt about that, amen? We've seen more evil and wickedness. And, you know, it's interesting, that word evil. I'll just give you a little few definitions. The word evil here means, hey, the times are sick. The times are diseased. They are malicious. They're vicious and wicked. Can I get an amen? Amen. And then, of course, we can't end Ephesians by not going into Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. After Paul says all that, he says, look, here's the main thing that you want to make sure you do. If you're going to be out there exposing darkness, you're going to be out there working, you're going to be fulfilling my purpose, you better make sure you do this. Finally, my brethren, if you're going to do those things, you better make sure that you're strong in the Lord, that your strength is coming from me and from the Holy Spirit. And in the power of my might, do it all in the strength of the Lord and the power of his might. And make sure you put on a couple pieces of armor. No, the whole armor. Everything that he's given us, he knows exact that every piece he's given us every piece of armor that we need to be effective and to be victorious and to go out there in the midst of the battle and to be able to still stand at the end of the battle. Amen? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the strategies, the schemes of the devil. Remember, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're fighting in a war that we can't even really see. We can't even see our enemies. But through the word of God, through the truth, we know his schemes, we know his strategies, we're not ignorant of his devices, and God has given us his word and his armor and his strength and his power through the Holy Spirit to be able to always have the victory over the enemy, amen? No weapon formed against us shall prosper from him either. In 2022, yes, we will continue to battle against rulers and authorities in the spiritual and natural realms. To withstand their attacks, we must depend on God's strength and use every piece of his armor. As the children of light do battle against the mighty powers in this dark world, we can find all the strength. He's got all the power we need in him, right? And all the strength that we need, because it comes from the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you that you will fill us with the knowledge of your will, which is revealed in the Word of God, and give us all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Holy Spirit, empower us to redeem the time. Let us make up for lost time in the ministry of the Lord and in our purpose and the things that you've given us to do. Help us, Holy Spirit, to walk worthy of our high calling in the Lord. Let us be fully pleasing to him in everything we do. Let us be fruitful in every good work, and may we increase in our knowledge of God and our Savior and the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. May we be made strong with all the strength which comes from your glorious power, the power of the Holy Spirit. As we do battle against the mighty powers in this dark world, we declare that with the whole armor of God and every gift and every spiritual blessing and all that you've given to us and granted to us as your children in your kingdom, that we'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And we thank you that you're always giving us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ready to worship the Lord? Let's worship him in spirit and truth.